Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, and today we're joined by Sue Kim, the chairman of Bally's Corporation, on the company's plan for the former Tropicana site in Las Vegas and the process toward the building of the permanent casino in Chicago. Sue Kim has his hands full. As chairman of Bally's Corporation, he's leading a company that has been on the front pages of gaming news for the last couple of years. As the operator of the former Tropicana in Las Vegas, Kim is preparing to build a new resort on that land, minus the 9 acres dedicated to a baseball stadium for baseball's Las Vegas A's. He's also grappling with running a temporary casino in Chicago, where Bally's will be the only casino inside the city limits, as well as designing and building a permanent facility. And finally, he's preparing a bid for one of the 3 casinos in New York City area, where Bally's bought the former Trump golf course in the Bronx. He spoke with me during the East Coast Gaming Congress at the Hard Rock Atlantic City in April. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Sue Kim, the chairman of the Bally's Corporation. Sue, it's great to see you. We've done this a couple of times before, and a lot has happened since the last time we talked.
Absolutely, Roger. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So let's start with the Trop in Vegas. Being in Vegas, I was at the Trop about a week before it closed. A friend of mine has held a conference there for the last 3 years, World Game Protection Conference, and he loved the way he was treated. You know, he went through it a few days before, and some of the escalators weren't working, and they jumped on that, and everything worked out well.
Right.
And it was a great conference as well. But it is closed now. It closed on April 2nd.
Yep.
And so where are we going from here at the Trop?
It is closed. It was not an April Fool's joke.
Right.
So, the Trop is a wonderful, or was a wonderful, casino, literally part of the fabric of the history of Vegas. But, it was state-of-the-art, you know.
Right. In 1950s.
You know, 50 years ago, so more than, you know. And so look, in Vegas is not sentimental about that,
right.
And it does rebuild itself and reimagine itself. And it's a city that is so laser focused on growth through attracting tourism that you can't afford to be sentimental.
Right.
Like that, you know, that works to a certain extent, but you also have to keep up and never rest on your laurels. And so I think that we are absolutely part of that evolution, very much consistent with the spirit of how the Strip has grown. It's an exciting new chapter, attracting a major league franchise,
right.
Major sports franchise. These are not things that grow on trees. You can't make the assumption that they'll come. And so I think that everyone, the community aligned to take advantage of the opportunity. And so we did our part. So
right.
We contributed the acreage, a very valuable acreage. Obviously the county contributed, the state contributed, and in that way attracted a major league franchise, which, you know, it's actually interesting. Everyone's like, oh, look what it is, you know.
Yeah.
But look what it is.
Right.
I mean, it's the Athletics. It's
right.
A franchise that has won championships in the past. I have a storied history.
Sure.
Lots of colorful characters.
It'll be the fourth city they've been located.
Absolutely. It's actually Kansas City,
yeah.
Philadelphia, Oakland.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's actually a sort of a moving franchise.
Sure.
And so I think it speaks to America, always moving forward. And I will tell you, when people see at least the mock-ups of the new uniform, but oh man, it's going to be crazy.
Well, I was surprised. I'm a huge baseball fan.
As am I.
I really wanted a retractable roof. So, but then when I saw the design, it looked great.
Yeah.
I mean,
so 2 things on that. So I did too, by the way, just so you know, as the near neighbor. I actually started by saying, hey guys, you gotta make this, if you're just gonna put a dome next to me, I'm not excited, like the real estate next to the Superdome is not valuable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we went down that road for a while. It's just, the problem is actually, it's really more weather. It's just really hard to keep it, even if you're like, okay, well, let's open it at night, you know?
Right, sure.
But you have to actually keep it, you would have to keep it closed during every hour of sun exposure, otherwise the concrete heats up too much. So So it was hard to do. And so I think that the decision was, let's try to solve the integration, the energy capture, through good design.
Sure.
And I actually loved the big design.
Yeah.
It's whether it's the pennants, it's the, it looks like the Sydney Opera House, or actually, you know what it actually looks like is the original Tropicana in Havana.
Oh, really? Okay.
Had this section called the Arc of Crystal or something like that, and it literally was a hall that had arcs.
Yeah, and what a great tribute to the Tropicana.
It's pretty amazing, actually. I was like, is that a coincidence? Or we're going to figure out a way to keep that history in whatever comes out of the ground.
Sure. You know? Yeah, I really enjoyed the big window. You know, it's natural light coming in.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's kind of the trend in Vegas these days. Natural light. The new Durango that just opened there. All windows in the casino, and it's a bright and a fun casino, and it's doing fantastic.
It really is.
So, and I guess you're considering what are you going to build around that?
Yes,
and
we are.
You've got to be. It's got to be something equally as spectacular, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know. I want to be sort of real. That we are a medium-sized gaming company. We are not the largest.
Sure.
I think we specialize, frankly, in operating in regional markets with high tax jurisdictions. So, in some ways, very difficult markets. But but destination markets like Vegas is a different business.
Sure.
And we know that we are just baby steps in that business.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Look, I think that right now what we're focused on is, and the reason why there's has been a little bit of a, you know, sort of a delay in terms of what are we going to do, is that we're just trying to get it right. We're trying to get it right in terms of actually a master plan that where we can plan out the remaining 27 acres that the A's are not using, so that it seamlessly integrates, and it takes advantage of the 2 million plus traffic that this ballpark will bring just on baseball.
Sure,
so if you were to do events, you're talking about another number there. And then once we have an integrated plan, then we need to come up with something that we can actually, you know, pencil out the economics to build, most likely in phases.
Sure.
So we would, you know, we try to fill it in phases. I don't think we're going to. Not our company alone could do it all. Look, we've actually said we've been open. We've been open and said, hey, you know, we're open to partnership. So if there are great operators out there that, you know, want to come with ideas, potentially partner capital, we're open for, you know, in this, because if you think about what we just did with the ballpark, we just condominiumized it and took a quarter of the property and said, hey, you put $1.5 billion ballpark here, and now we, you know, and so the key for us is, by taking these steps, do we increase the value of what we hold?
Right.
And the answer, I think, is yes. Mm-hmm. And so as long as we can continue to make those very rational economic decisions, that's the goal. So yeah, we're working on the master plan now.
Great. When you look at what Allegiant Stadium has done for Vegas, I mean, it was built for a football team, but the other events that have come there have really exceeded expectations. And I think the size of this ballpark would get the right in the middle, right in the sweet spot.
It's sort of honest, it's sort of perfect, Roger.
Right.
I mean, I was there, I saw that, right? Mm-hmm. So Allegiant opened. I think all the planners thought that it was going to do like 5 days outside of football, which is only eight days, right? So people are like, look, this is, you know, this is not going to make a ton of revenues in that track classic sense, but obviously football, you know, generates huge traveling circus every weekend or every other weekend. And so that's the economic impact. No, it's been a huge surprise, right? I mean, like, you know, again, I think people have underestimated that, yes, from a straight media size market, it's a 30-something market size.
Sure.
Right, so it's not necessarily a market that you do a stadium act in.
Right.
But you forgot about the 45 million tourists that come every year.
Right, of course.
And you know, and they, wherever they're come from, they can take stadium acts there.
Right.
And so this, you know, to have the only 60,000 seater in that market has just been, you know, a revelation.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's one of the most profitable stadiums in the country.
Sure.
So, and that's been a surprise to everybody. So. Look, it's not lost upon Fisher, who's the owner of the Oakland A's, that, hey, you know, we're going to come here for baseball. Obviously, that's our right. thing. But if we make a nice space, mm-hmm. We can complement the convention business.
Sure.
We can complement the event business. Mm-hmm. You know, we would be the only person of our in that size category. They're talking about 30,000 seats.
Sure.
Nobody else would be on 20.
Right. Yeah.
So it'd
yeah.
be. It, not quite the same magnitude, but in the same way as Allegiant stands on its own right. category, we would stand larger than all the other arenas.
Right.
So if you could pack an arena, why not come to us?
Sure.
You would right. just make 50% yeah. more
yeah.
money.
Yeah, no question.
And so I think that's going to be a pleasant surprise. Plus, baseball plays in the dog days
right.
of Vegas.
That's right. Yeah.
So actually, that stadium is empty
right.
during the hot day, during when Vegas is quote unquote mm-hmm. hot when it's cool.
Right.
You know, fall to
yeah,
the
sure.
spring.
Right.
That's peak season for Vegas business right. and tourism. And so, I think it's a great product.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. And when you're talking about the Oakland A's and how the success they had. And now people are complaining, oh, Fisher's not investing in the team. But people weren't coming. Even when they were making the playoffs only less than 10
yeah,
years ago,
yeah.
they still weren't packing the stadium. So
Roger, let me just interject here. So I also grew up a baseball fan, a Mets fan. I grew up in Queens. And,
sure.
And the notion that I would be involved in a team move, you
right.
know, against the will.
Sure.
I wouldn't do it. Just mm-hmm. wouldn't be worth it. It doesn't matter. It's
right.
not a money thing. It's just like I wouldn't do it. But before, when I first heard about the potential to host the A's or to welcome the A's, I was like, all right, guys, are you definitely leaving? And like, has that been? You know,
right.
is that
right.
done? And the truth of the matter was that it was.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter, I think, what people don't understand is that baseball itself, Manfred himself, actually tried to you know. In varying levers,
sure.
forced the A's to stay.
Yeah.
So for years, the A's had to labor under challenges that baseball set for them
sure.
because mm-hmm. Rob, the commissioner, did not want the team just to leave.
Right,
you know?
Right.
They tried to stay, I think, for
sure.
almost 5 years.
Yeah,
they were,
I mean, there were all kinds of different
stadium proposals. All sorts of plans.
And
but again, this see, so when I did the due diligence on this, it wasn't just he said, she said.
Yeah.
It was third parties were saying, no. These guys have huge economic incentives to stay right in the Bay Area.
Right.
From the base, from the media contract to the league,
mm-hmm.
telling them stay.
Right.
And despite all that, I think it was a failure of leadership that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't come to a deal. And you know, look, it wasn't the only team to leave
sure.
that Bay Area, so.
Right.
So look, the Fisher family is a Bay Area family,
yeah.
and so I there's so many reasons as to why when I got involved they had already made the decision.
Right.
It just wasn't. That's not the way the story is related,
right.
but that's the truth.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, you're going to leave anyway. Then we would love to welcome you. I think this would be great for the community.
Yeah. And I think when they come to Vegas and they pack the ballpark, maybe not with locals.
People are going to forget all.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
are going to forget like we didn't want this.
Yeah, and then he'll be able to reinvest in the team.
Oh,
I think that's what
it's
going to
be.
Anyway,
oh,
you know?
I think so. I think it's going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be an exciting product. I think it's going to be the away series that people come out for.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting.
Right. Great. Let's talk about Chicago then. Chicago
sure.
is, you have a temporary casino opening
yep.
there.
Yep.
People were a little concerned about the early revenues, but of course, it's a three-level casino, which is always tough to operate
yes.
and things of that nature.
Yes.
But it's, things are picking up, though.
What we knew, and I think it's, you know, I think, look, again, it's you know, sometimes people don't see what we see, right?
Right.
What we knew is that, it was just a phased opening,
right.
and they were just getting comfortable.
Sure.
The IGB was getting comfortable with the idea of gaming mm-hmm. in Chicago. Public safety was getting comfortable with gaming in Chicago, and so we did the right thing. We
right.
opened it on time, on budget,
mm-hmm.
and then we went with them at their pace.
Right.
So it took them a long time to test, you know, mm-hmm. the systems and be
right,
comfortable.
Sure.
But look, remember. This casino is literally like just off the Magnificent Mile. This
right.
is the center of
sure.
Chicago.
Right.
And, you know, there was no, you know, I think that there was a lot of desire for everyone to let's get this right. Let's, you know. So from our perspective, we delivered it on time, on budget, and I think we were just willing to work with the city and the IGB to make sure they get comfortable. We knew that they were setting limitations in terms of operating hours, right, in terms of the way we could promote. So we're just working with only a partial toolkit,
sure,
and so revenues would be slow out of the gate. But that's okay, because sure, it's by design.
Right.
And so we are absolutely confident about the revenue potential, you know, in that city, that population. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a product that's going to be so much superior to every other product in that market that it's kind of, you know, it's almost silly, you know. And so we're excited to get started on the next step. But you know, we're not displeased with where the ramp of the temporary is. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, but we're actually looking forward. See, unlike a lot of people that like to stay in the temp as long as possible,
right,
for us it's very different, right? Because remember, our permanent is going to be nicer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 4 times bigger.
Right.
So we want to get into permanent as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So we still even yet have not yet taken possession of the property, because you know, we do have a printing press there, and we will be taking possession of the property on, I think, July 4th, like,
right,
Independence Day.
Yeah.
You know. So and then that's when we start in earnest. So we're excited. We remain you know, absolutely committed, and we remain confident. I mean, you know, I think that there's you know, there's a lot of doubters for whatever mm-hmm. reason. You know, but I remind people, it's a very competitive RFP against mm-hmm. very, very smart operators.
Sure.
And we find ourselves fortunate to be selected. I think our experience working in, you know, tough tax jurisdictions, I think, helps.
Right.
And so to give confidence that we care and we'll do a great job, you know, I remain confident that that we'll be able to close out the funding and get that built on time and on budget.
Okay. One thing that we've been seeing lately is Illinois allows VLTs in the rest of the state.
Yes.
Not in Chicago, though.
Yes.
But there's a I don't know if it's an actual proposal now, but there's a thought that they would allow it in Chicago.
Yeah, that would be tough. You know, remember, okay, so the way it works is the enabling law at the state level exempted the city,
right,
and then the city would have to permit it itself. Mm-hmm. And our host community agreement with the city does not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hoops to jump through,
right,
for that to happen. One thing, you know, again, this is, you know, I think beyond that, I shouldn't speak any further.
Okay.
just only because I think, look, there are some solutions. You know, look, we're not generally opposed to the expansion of gaming. This is Bally's Corporation.
Mm, right.
We believe that you know, gaming is good,
yeah,
and obviously we participate in a lot of expansion, physical and online. We don't do routes currently,
mm-hmm.
And so look, I think that there are some solutions there. If it was really obviously. We're right now, the city and ourselves are lockstep aligned to mm-hmm. make sure that the rollout of the permanent is perfect,
right,
that it meets the needs, which is to create tax activity,
sure,
provide jobs, and also give just another reason why 50 million plus tourists, so actually Chicago, there's more tourists in Chicago than
right.
there is in Vegas, just so you know, give them an excuse to stick around a little more,
sure,
you know? So we're all aligned for that. Mm-hmm. The routes don't do any of that.
Sure, right.
So they can generate revenues, but they can't generate jobs. They
right.
can't generate, you know, tourism. So there's strong alignment there. I think if there's a need for revenues, there's different ways to deliver expansion in ways that I think take nothing away from what we
sure.
are doing collectively with the city, but also just expands the pie. So, but that's frankly not appropriate, you know, for
sure,
this conversation.
Of course, right. One more question. I want to talk about when we first did a podcast, I think 3 years ago, you had an idea of becoming an omnichannel company to a really great extent.
Yes.
That more than anybody had done. And,
yes.
And own your own technology.
Yes.
And
yes.
It kind of slowed down.
Yes.
You know, there's some technology issues and things
sure,
like that.
Absolutely.
But you're just starting to ramp up that
yes.
end of the company. Do you still see Bally's becoming that omnichannel gaming company?
Absolutely. Look, I think it's so interesting. We just went to this, I just listened to the keynote
right.
of the wonderful speaker from Porch Creek. I can't remember his name. Mm-hmm. And he put up that slide saying, hey, only a third of our database doesn't go to online
right.
gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Sure.
So, and he said, you know, like a third of our good players mm-hmm. are also online gaming.
Right.
And so, and we want to meet the players where they are.
Right.
I think that is absolutely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to meet the players where they
right.
are. And so we want to meet the players where they are. Now, you know, so I think our overall strategic vision is absolutely the same. Where that vision met reality,
right.
meets reality
sure.
is, look, execution is a real thing, the real challenge. And, you know, I think maybe we try to do too much ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've actually injected a lot more honesty
sure.
into our management team as to what we really are good at,
right.
what we must do for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
what we are, how good are we and what must we do for ourselves?
Right.
That's really and if we're not that good, then we should have somebody else do
sure.
it. And if we have to do it for ourselves, if we don't have to do it for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then we should have somebody else do it.
Right.
So we should focus on things that we're good at, and we should, and we,
mm-hmm.
and we need to do ourselves.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you've taken the 100% four boxes,
right.
all four boxes, and then you're going to focus your activities on one box
right.
out of four. And so I think look, it's us at the board to set the direction
mm-hmm.
For the company. We don't run the company.
Sure.
We set the strategic direction. Hey, that's a real opportunity, online, offline, cross promotion, pollination
mm-hmm.
of customers, meeting customers where they are, adding customers cheaply into the database. Let's go.
Yeah.
The way that was translated by the management team, I think, was dissatisfactory
mm-hmm.
Over
right.
over a couple
sure.
of years. And so after a couple of years of trying that, we made some changes
mm-hmm.
To the team and direction. And I think that we have figured out that we don't need to own sports.
Right.
So now we have a wonderful deal with our partners at Canby, which we're psyched about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now we can actually roll out sports as an amenity
right.
to our customers, make some money,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we don't, you know. But now we're there,
right.
you know. Now and they're getting a great product under our flag,
sure.
and it's something that we don't have to be embarrassed that we're offering our customers.
Sure.
So that's a good learning.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working on the combination of the physical casino database, the online database,
right.
the sports,
sure.
the nascent sports online effort, and that technology integration continues afoot.
Okay.
So we're not there. We're not there
sure,
yet.
Sure.
So I would tell you that I'm happier than I were.
Mm-hmm.
It was called, when we first launched that,
sure.
our strategic vision. I think we have executed on some of our priorities
mm-hmm.
now. The current alignment of the team has executed. And I think our best days are ahead, you know, for us and the industry.
Okay, great. Actually, one more thing. I want to talk about Bally's Atlantic City. Here we are in Atlantic City, and it's kind of your flagship right now.
It's not on a profitability basis.
Right.
So,
no,
so our, you know, our, you know, still, we, our
right.
flagship still remains in Providence, and will be in Chicago
right.
soon enough. But no, Atlantic City is our namesake,
right.
and it's on Park Place and mm-hmm. Boardwalk.
Sure,
it's
right,
you
right.
know, it's right in the center of it all. Its best days were in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, we've renovated the room, so I actually
sure.
encourage people to give us another chance.
Yeah.
It's a good product.
Sure.
It's not
absolutely.
It's
yeah.
not. Is it you know, ultra lux? No,
mm-hmm.
but it's a solid product, and I would encourage people to give us a chance on that. But it's a tough market. It is a
absolutely.
Tough market.
Very competitive.
It's super competitive, it's a market. And in the product that we bought. At a reasonable price, you know, really was starved of
right.
capital for
right.
basically too long.
Too long, for sure.
Yeah, for really. So we've done okay by it, to the place where we are profitable now. We are making money, which is, you know, in itself a task.
Revenues were up 20%, almost 20% last month.
Yeah. And then on the online side of that business, which now we, because we supply ourselves and we own the license ourselves, it's been a nice business. And so between online and offline collectively, it's been a nice, I think it's pretty nice. We own all our own land. And really, again, I'm really curious about how we as an industry, this is the New Jersey casino industry, respond to New York table gaming.
Right.
Because that is like, you know, that's the last.
Well, I forgot to talk about New York. I was talking to a friend of mine just last week about all the different proposals, and he said, you got the best location.
Thank you.
He said, I agree. You're 15 minutes by train from Chinatown.
It's amazing. our location is pretty. We're pretty fortunate to have able to line it up. I mean, if again, you know, assuming as a lot of people do that the two racinos will get a full license, and so really you're really competing for one full license. If you to take the two licenses and draw a line and cut it right in the middle, you're right at the Flushing Bay. Between LaGuardia and ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're right there. Already 44 million people drive right by every year.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting about all the planes that land in LaGuardia.
Right.
That's why the signs were so visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fantastic world-class city course, which we now have long-term license to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to put more capital in there. So. Let's see. You know, these processes are competitive. Every single company is. I mean, pretty much everyone has tossed their hat in the ring. But look, I think we have certain advantages. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do. We are the operator that operates in high tax jurisdictions. So, you know, New York is a high tax jurisdiction.
Sure.
You
know,
super proud of the sports betting tax, which everyone said was going to be a huge failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $1.8 billion later,
No
one's unhappy at the state level
about
the tax rate they set. So, look, I live in New York, so I'm and I'm from New York. So, look, I think we very carefully picked a location using that sort of like local knowledge as to what is the right place for something like this. And the casino, as you know. You know, there's like, you know, you don't take a subway to a casino, really. You're gonna mostly drive there, and so that's why actually the inner Manhattan ones are really tough because it's just so much traffic, and if you're just outside the center core, but along the arterials, now all of a sudden you could draw from the whole five boroughs, but you could also draw from Long Island, Northern Jersey, Connecticut. And Westchester, so we have the ability to do that, and so we're pretty excited. And again, there's still a lot more that we have to execute. It's a large project, and obviously, look, you know, we have to be mindful of our limited resources.
Sure.
So, but it's hard to argue that casino, whoever were to build it, will be the largest GGR casino in America.
Yeah, no question. No question,
right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
definitely
bar none.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, and regardless of the tax rate, it'll be profitable, obviously. And so we would love for a chance to operate.
Great. Well, Sue, thanks for taking the time with us
here
at the East Coast Gaming Congress in Atlantic City. And it's great to see you. And we have a lot to talk about next time we meet.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of stuff on your plate.
We do, and I'm always trying to move forward. And look, we don't always get things right, as you know. Look, obviously, our sports early forays were good idea, tougher execution.
Yeah.
But look, what we like to pride ourselves on is changing our minds when the decision is incorrect, or that at least the outputs are incorrect, you know, and trying new things. So we love this industry. We think that there are so many ways to go from here. And we're excited to get there. We appreciate you and all that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being open about this. It really, really good to catch up with you.
And absolutely. We'll thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Sun and sunshine, there's enough for everyone. Whoa, that's missing.
Hope you enjoyed today's GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. And don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts today. And we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.